Welcome, everybody. It's one of my honors. It is my honor to introduce a dear friend. Chris and I have known Matthew and Melissa for, I don't know, 20 years or something ridiculous like that. And what's really cool is to see someone with an amazing amount of talent and amazing gifts of God get caught and see something and recognize where God's calling is in their life. And we got to witness, and I got to see what the brokenness in Cambodia and the way it hit your guys' hearts. And you changed your entire life trajectory to go minister to that brokenness in Cambodia. It's been an honor and a privilege to watch you do that. And Melissa is an amazing woman of God who has a great number of talents, and she'll be preaching today on goodness, but I want to pray for her before we get started.
Thank you.
Lord, I thank you for Melissa. I ask your blessing continue to fall upon her. I thank you for the word she's brought us today. I just ask your goodness, your grace, and your mercy open our hearts to hear what she has to share and say today, that you bless not only her time here, but even her trip back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Amen.
Yes, so I'm going to start a little bit farther back here today. It might be a little different for a sermon or a talk, but I wanted to start from here and just open with a song that just settles my heart, prepares me, and I'm going to sing it in Khmer, in the Cambodian language, but I think you all know it. It's the song Still, Hide Me Now, Undo Your Wings. And so if you want to just hum along, if you want to listen, if you just want to meditate on that, this is just a time for God to prepare our hearts, but I wanted to, the church that I lead worship in the Cambodian language is about this size, so it's really special to me to be back here in my passport country and singing and worshiping with you, but just the familiarity of the size and space. And so I'm going to sing with you like I do with them as we start this time together. God, I just ask that you would be at this time, be with us together, that maybe learn from you and hear from you. In your name, amen. I just want to cry when I sing that because I miss Cambodia. And I love being here with you guys, but my husband's there right now, so I'm just missing it. Let me tell you. Also, can I just say, glass straws? America has some cool stuff. I don't think they'd make it over in the luggage, but I'm really liking those. Okay, so I am so, so thankful to be here. You guys mean so much to us. We think of you often. We pray for you as you pray for us. And you have blessed us in so many ways. And Matthew and I have lived in Cambodia now as missionaries working in the anti-traffic arena. And so I'm going to show you a few photos as I talk about what we're doing. I'll talk about him. I've got a little bit of a word to share with you. Also, I turned 50 this year, so I love it. Also, I need cute glasses. So Matthew and I, pictured above, we've lived here in Cambodia for 12 years, and we work with survivors of sex trafficking. It's a job, it's a ministry that has such massive lows and massive highs. And the first 5 years we worked with a training organization, we gave skills and training and employment to survivors. And you can see pictured here is where we went through a graduation with some of these women. And they were getting hospitality certificates for the jobs that they had, were then able to take those back and get jobs at hotels, at restaurants, at coffee shops. But the great thing is we were around a lot of cake and coffee, and that was a part of our hospitality training. And so you'll see here, we've got lots of cake, and we had, like, you know, at times we had 1 meters, 2 meters, and more of cake that we were working with. And so it was a fun job. It was a tasty job. Every morning we're taste testing cupcakes, which you might think is exciting, but when cumin gets substituted for cinnamon, yes, well, it happens. Anyways, the next 4 years, we worked with an anti-trafficking organization, and we were in senior leadership positions with about 400 Cambodian employees, and we were working with four areas of anti-trafficking work. So we were working in the prevention of trafficking, we were working with the rescue of trafficking, with the reintegration, and with the restoration. So all the different areas that need to combine and work together. Matthew and I were doing that. There were so many moments of joy. There were so many moments of heartache. Joy is knowing that the next generation of children with many of these women have different paths. They have a different future in front of them. Heartache is knowing women, working with women that have gone back to the life, women that are currently being trafficked and who are trafficking others, and walking this journey alongside with them. The important thing is we're not there to teach them Western culture. We're not there to teach them Western ideas. We are there to come alongside them with kingdom culture. We are there to learn how to practice love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, all these things you guys have been studied here. So I love the topic of today's message. But we are there to do that. We work with communities at risk. We work with women who have been told all of their lives that they are worth nothing. There's a Cambodian proverb that says, men are worth gold, and if they get dirty, you polish them off, and then you keep using them. Women are like cloth, and if they get dirty, you throw them out and get a new one. Wow. That's how these women are raised. That's what they're told. That's what many of them believe. And we get to speak into that. Cambodia has three different levels of poor. So you get your identification card, and it's not like, this is my ID. You're labeled poor one, or poor level two, or poor level three. So we are working with people like the street cleaner who might make $2 to $3 a day. Many of the women and the children, the NGOs we support, come from backgrounds of poverty. They dropped out of school at a young age. You'll see in this next picture that there's all of these little boats. This is where many families live, is on these boats. And they're fishing, or they can't afford to own property. These boats are an example of just the tiny cramped shelters and the difficult way it is for them to get jobs. After COVID, we felt a need to speak into the lives of the Cambodian leaders, and so we stepped away from the organization we had been with, and now we're working with these Cambodians who have been put in these senior leadership positions, and it's really, really exciting because we're watching them lead in their own culture, and this is how it should be. Now, Matthew and I are working with over 10 different anti-trafficking NGOs. Some months, some quarters, it's as many as 14. But we're working on supporting their leadership teams, connecting resources with needs, and that's really exciting because we see that happening on an international level, and we are just humbled to be a part of that. I'm on the board of a clean water organization. You see one of the water wells right here. We're working with the prevention of trafficking through access to clean water, which is still a massive need in Cambodia. And we recognize that need every day. There are so many people that don't have access to this, something that I have just taken for granted my entire life. And this takes us to remote parts of the country where we see the progress, we hear the impact stories, we encourage people that are working daily closest to this need. And we're able to talk with them about this challenge that they have of getting access to safe water. Most of these discussions are done in the Cambodian language, so I continue to learn how to read, and I'm studying. I can speak at about, I think I'm about like 65 to 70% fluency, but my reading, I told someone this morning, it's like Dr. Seuss. So I am still in the Dr. Seuss level books, because there's 76 letters in the Cambodian alphabet. It's really, 26 vowels, and I have messed up words. Let me tell you, I have said things, many inappropriate things, but I'm learning. And the great thing, they have so much grace with me, and they'll say, I'm sorry, my English is not better. And I'm like, what? You guys are amazing. Your English is so fantastic. Thank you for welcoming me into your country and speaking so much English. And they have so much grace when I mess up. Most of the time they say, oh, it's cute. We like it when you say it like that. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you for not being highly offended. Yes. A part of connection in Cambodia always involves food or meals or snacks, and depending on where we are, the ingredients can be really interesting. Sometimes they crawl before they're cooked. I don't mind the ants and the termites now. It's the crickets I don't like. I'll take pictures with them, but I won't eat them. But actually a funny story. Well, when we do this is a time of encouragement and worship and connection and just spending time getting to know, messing up with the language skills, learning new words. And there was one time Matthew and I were asked to go and speak for a Valentine's Day event, and they wanted a Western couple, and they had a Cambodian couple, and they had a couple that was one, he's Cambodian and she's American. And so they asked all of us different questions about relationships, but they wanted to hear the different cultural answers and what we thought and what we had experienced. I'm getting to the food part. They had asked me, since we were coming, to bring American chocolate chip cookies. I was like, I can do that. I saved some Trader Joe's frozen in the freezer. I had some dark chocolate chips, and so I made my chocolate chip cookies, and I showed up, and they were presented along with the fried chicken feet. And that was my, like, oh, it is Valentine's Day, and we're having special food, because fried chicken feet are very special foods in Cambodia, not at our house, but it's a big deal, right? And then I think about to myself, like, what would I do if I had nothing? Would I probably eat things like this and be out of the hunger, right? And so I can't, like, I laugh, but I'm impressed by what has eaten. We also connect groups and service teams at churches internationally with service projects. And this is a vision team that came and led a giant retreat for Cambodian women who are working every day with survivors of trafficking, and they are tired, and they are burnt out, and they are exhausted. And so I connected this church with this opportunity, and I help these churches and places find groups that are really small, and they don't have a social media team. Most of them don't have a social media presence, and I'm able to connect the needs and the resources, and that has just been a great joy for me. So, where is Matthew? Most of the time, there's this great guy standing next to me, and he's not here today because he left Eugene just a couple days ago, and he's back in Cambodia now, fully jet-lagged. He's finishing projects that he needs to do for his clinical mental health master's program that he's doing online through Colorado Christian University. So this is up here is the clinic that he's working with in Cambodia. And you guys pray, and you guys pray so much, and I thank you for that. They need so much prayer here because this is the only psychology clinic in a city of 3 million people. There's so many needs. And so he's been blessed to do some hours there for his internship under a PhD, and her background is children with trauma, and they want to create programs that are working with the nonprofits that we support for all of these children who have suffered so much trauma. So it has been a blessing to have this clinic there, but please pray for them because there are so many needs in the city, and it's pretty overwhelming. So we have the capacity now with what we're doing to work with music programs within our local international church. We have a Chinese congregation, a Cambodian congregation, and an English congregation. And so I work with all three. When I work, this is the Chinese worship team, and when I work with them, we speak in the Cambodian language because they don't speak English and I don't speak Chinese, and so we're all communicating via like miming and acting things out and Cambodian. But I've been working with them, and I lead worship with Cambodian churches, and it's really special to be able to take what God had me in the middle of here in Oregon and before that in California and do that same thing in Cambodia. We do special music together for graduations and for retreats, and we're just blessed. And we give children of missionaries opportunities to be a part of the worship services, which is a joy because I think of my nephews and nieces, and you'll see all these little kids in the next picture. They are precious. We've got about 12 different languages represented up there, and I get to work with them in ways that I think if my sisters and brothers were overseas and they were missionaries, I would want people having the kids' activities for them. So we get to do this, and it's just a joy. So we have 11 and a half years of relationships in Cambodia, working with survivors of trafficking, with Cambodian leaders within their organizations, and this turns into activities and opportunities like art days that I do with survivors and music times that we have with survivors. It's just an incredible opportunity. And we support some powerful and tiny organizations because of your generosity to us. We can support all these small places. Like this classroom has about 120 kids a week that they see through come through there. And we are able to work connecting them and supporting them. And they're giving education to children in a village where many of the women are the girls are trafficked by the age of 14 or 15. And so this is just a powerful ministry. And special relationships have connected us through so many experiences. We're able to help these women find jobs, support education, and help their networks grow. So all of this leads me to Galatians 5, 22 through 26, the word goodness. You're studying the fruits of the Spirit, and I love that. I think when I was a kid, it would be like, oh, love, joy, peace, patience. Yep, I've got all those. Look, I memorized them. I thought I had them. And now it's like, oh, man, just one word alone can stop you for a day. Like, do I truly have love? Do I truly have joy? What does this mean? And so Galatians 5, 22 through 26, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh my gosh, you guys, against so many things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, enjoying one another. And I think that little phrase, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Wow, it's not an option. Also, it's not a 95%. It's not a buffet, pick and choose. Like, well, today I feel like it. Well, Sunday I feel like it. No. So kindness and goodness always seem to be very similar to me, but I would propose that goodness is taking kindness to the next level through the intentional purity of our minds, our hearts, and our deeds. It's intentionally going out of the way to do good and bless others that we know and others we don't know. Goodness is about doing what's right even when it's difficult. Not doing what's right when we want to. Doing what's right when it's easy, even when it's difficult. Goodness is holiness in action. Goodness ends up being a reflection of God's character. Okay, so breaking it down some more, what we think, how we respond to others in our words, our actions. I feel like there's times when I don't feel like being kind, but in those days where I am working out of the overflow of the fruit of the Spirit, there can be a reaction out of goodness. First and second Judges, look there to see clear examples of people that were created in God's image They were called to live in God's culture, and they lived in absolute rebellion. But you spend some time there, and you see the goodness of God, and he sent a radical opportunity to redeem his people and draw them close. That was God's response of goodness to us. So there's a book my husband's been quoting for about 4 years, and then I read it, and I was blown away. It's called A Church Called Tov, and this book talks about a culture of goodness. Tov is the word for good. Many of us have lived and existed and grown up in an American culture. When Matthew and I were called to the mission field, our worlds, our version of normal, they were flipped upside down. We stepped into a different set of cultural values, and it was a total shock. We didn't know about the required changes we would have to make, and we weren't prepared for them. We were forced to change certain languages and practices, and our lives had to be rewired to operate in that new culture. And my friends, that's what Jesus is asking us to do here with goodness. He's saying, step into this kingdom culture, step into something counter to what we might have been raised with or grown up with or experienced. Because the reality is, if you truly dive into that completely, you might go in shock. You might have to reformat your understanding of how life operates, and it won't be the same, but that's okay. We have to constantly remember that we don't make ourselves good. We are transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through him, goodness is a natural fruit. And I love that generosity is the foremost expression of goodness. My husband and I, we are walking, talking examples of goodness expressed by others in our lives for ministry. We've experienced goodness from people who believe in us, people who have never met us, people that believe in the work that's happening in Cambodia. We've experienced goodness because of the goodness of others who decided to support us. And that's you guys. And when we act out of the true goodness of our hearts and we reflect the fruit of the Spirit, we are being obedient to God's commandments and we seek the benefit of others without any expectation. And that's huge, right? Many times it's like, I want to be good to others, and please recognize that back. No, we do this without any expectations other than the joy of giving and the joy of serving others. Stepping into America these few weeks, Matthew and I have realized how hard things are for so many people. You have family, we have family struggling to make ends meet. I look out here, and I'm sure many of you in the same boat. But this congregation, you guys made a decision to step outside of your comfort zone. You gave out of the goodness in your hearts, and I imagine that was painful and uncomfortable at times. But I want to tell you what you did, and I want to show you what that goodness did. Because there are other people you have never met that are the recipients, and I want you to meet some of them. I have a photo here. These are all different people. Your church gave so that 32 households have clean water access now. Yeah. Your church allocated resources earlier this year. You blessed others you don't know, but you knew there was a need, and you shared your resources. This is goodness. You guys sought the benefit of others. Because of this, kids from 32 different households are going to school and they're not getting sick. Because of this, adults from these 32 households, they can go to work because the water at their homes is clean. When they're not getting sick, these families don't have to worry about medical bills that are related to waterborne illnesses that can lead them into debt of a few hundred dollars just for hospitals and medicine, and this can lead them to being trafficked for labor or sex. What you guys did is massive. It started with hearts of goodness for others that you don't know and you have never met. There is no way that one individual can return the favor for you. No one that you saw up on that screen, and yet you did it anyways. You gave out of the goodness in your hearts, and you had no expectation of those you were blessing. You gave. But what does that goodness look like here? What does it look like with your neighbor, with the person who's sitting next to you, the person who's living next to you? So this internal quality of goodness, our relationship with God, has to be the source of goodness in our lives. Many of the people that we work with have not experienced much goodness in their lives. I look at the women in this picture here. Most of them have just had horrible things said to them most of their life. They're not survivors of trafficking, but they are very poor, they are very at risk, and they are working so hard for dollars a day. And we desperately love them and we love supporting them. But they have not experienced a lot of goodness in their life, and Matthew and I want that to change at a heart level. I am where I am today because of the goodness of God, and I have experienced goodness from others in my life. And it doesn't just happen. So how do we continue to operate with intentional goodness, not just when it's comfortable? How do people see goodness in our lives that can be an example of our relationship with Christ? That they don't even see us, but they see what is Christ doing through us, through this goodness. We have to renew our minds daily. We all know this. Am I running towards goodness or am I running towards sin? It's because it's one or the other. There's no in between. Which one am I pursuing with every conversation, with every thought, with every action, with every text, with every Instagram follow, with every Instagram response or purchase, right? The list adds up. Am I running towards goodness? Am I running towards sin? And please know, like, I'm not pointing at anyone here. Like, I'm pointing at me. I'm speaking to myself. I don't get the choice of when I want to be good, like when it's easy. And I was trying to think about something that related to this, and what popped in my mind is that the spirit of fruits of the spirit are not supposed to be a buffet where you pick and choose the days you want certain things. And it made me think of picking and choosing and Sizzler back in the day. And when I was a kid and I first discovered Sizzler, Mom would be like, "Oh, go get a salad." I can get a salad. I have like 4 pieces of lettuce and a cup of cheese and 2 cups of croutons. I'm like, I can do this. Because I chose what I liked instead of what might be better for my health. That didn't work for long. But we don't get to choose the parts of the fruit of the Spirit that are easier for us and leave the others aside because all of these impact each other. All of these work with each other. And so I want us to ask ourselves 3 questions. What areas of my life can goodness increase in daily? I feel like God can make these things obvious to us. Like, what do I need to take out to make room for more goodness? If we're in the Word, if we're in God's Word, it can be extremely obvious, painful at times, very convicting. Number 2, am I spending enough time with the Lord to be renewed daily so I am overflowing with goodness that is from Him, and I'm not trying to create it on my own, because that's exhausting. Trying to create goodness on your own, that creates burnout. Number 3, are there areas of my life that I have stifled any ability for goodness to work because of my own pride, my own selfishness, my own comparison? At work, social media, that keeps coming up, with family and friends, like, where are areas that I have stifled goodness, maybe without even realizing it? So thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. I will be back in a week and a half with my husband, and I'm excited. I miss him desperately, and yet we're both excited that I was able to come here and share with you and encourage, and we thank you for your support. I thank you for your encouragement. I'm thankful to be here with you. And I'm thankful for the goodness we have felt and experienced from your congregation. I don't say that lightly. I'm thankful for the kingdom connections happening here and through the power of Jesus in His name. We are blessed, we are humbled, and we're thankful. So I'd like to end my time with you by just sharing this short video that shows a little bit more about our work and ministry there. So thank you all.